which though the tabernacle, the characteristics of God, and the attributes. I want a long suffering. Me and Stephen kind of picked it both at the same time. Because we know God was long suffering for us, personally. And then, so then I picked faithful. And I really don't know why I picked faithful. I just know God is faithful. So I started thinking about how do I know God is faithful? You know, why? And I put, my faith is based on the understanding of who God is. He always does what is right and always does what he says. How he says it and when he says it. So he does it all, you know, when, how, why. So then I looked up faithful, true to one's word, steadfast in allegiance or affection, reliable, unchanging, loyal. It is the opposite of being faithful is ever changing. So we know God doesn't change, right?
Yeah.
We know he's true to his word.
Amen.
But we don't, but why? Why do we know that? So I wrote down some of the things that we have to believe. And I wrote the scriptures out to the side. We can look them up if we want to, but we don't really have to. So what do you have to believe in order to believe that God is faithful? That he is sovereign. And sovereign means having supreme authority.
Yep.
In 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, it says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand is to make one, is to, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So that's a Bible scripture.
It's awesome.
That goes with, to me, God being sovereign. I still have to believe that. Right? Later on, we'll get into the proof that God is these things. But I just think that you have to believe that.
Yeah.
That, number one, that he's sovereign. Number two, that he is all-knowing. Everything. He knows the past, the present, the future.
Yep.
Right? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
He's all powerful. That Matthew 19:26, that Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
And I feel like it was really, really, really hard to get started on this study because God is faithful. I know God is faithful. But
yeah.
How do you explain that to someone?
Yeah.
You know, when they ask you, well, why do you believe that? Then he's omnipresent. He's always there and always ready to answer. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
That's good.
He's truthful. He cannot lie.
Yeah.
Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Again, I personally know that he's truthful.
Yeah.
You know? But I have to believe that in order to believe that he's faithful, right?
Yeah.
If James was to lie to me about something, I couldn't trust him.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's immutable. He cannot change.
Amen.
Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Romans 6:17-19. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul,
Amen.
Sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So, that, and that's kind of where I started. I'm like, why do I believe that God's faithful? Because of all these things. I have to believe him.
Amen.
So then I thought about his promises. And I think I have it on one of the pages, that there's over 7,000 promises in God's word. Just to man.
Wow, that's amazing.
There are some sources that I looked at, there's over 8,000, but all those promises aren't to man. They kind of broke them down to what the promises were. But I thought, wow, he loves us. The examples I have, let me say, does anybody have anything? Just ramble it off. I wanted to do some examples. He promised Abraham that he would be a great nation, and that all the people of the earth would be blessed. Does anybody want to read that, Genesis 12:1-4?
You got, is it all printed out?
Yeah, it is.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and the earth will be, I will bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
Yeah, and I have Genesis, there just some other places where God promised that, you know, he would make the people of Abraham the dust of the earth, the sand, and the stars. So those are all things that we can't count. They're just innumerable.
Amen.
So that was God's promise to Abraham. Abraham started to doubt God. He went through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and still that promise hadn't been fulfilled. So he started to doubt God, but God proved his faithfulness. He doesn't have to prove things to us, but he does it because he is good and loving.
That's good. Amen.
So the whole chapter of Genesis 15 is that covenant that God makes with Abraham. And the more I read it, the more it just is so beautiful. I didn't really pick out any scriptures from it, just because the whole thing, the whole chapter is really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, God had made the covenant with Abraham. Let me flip there. And the first couple of times that I read it, me and James studied it a couple of times, because we're like, you know, this has to mean some stuff, right? But it was a covenant that men would make back in that time. And it was basically a blood covenant that they would make. It talks about how how God had Abraham cut up the animals and place them. And they got placed on like either side. And they would walk through to make this blood covenant.
Yeah.
Well, God caused Abraham to fall asleep.
Yeah.
A deep sleep, it says.
Yeah.
And it says that he walked through. And he did the covenant.
Yeah.
Without Abraham.
Yeah.
He made the covenant for both him and Abraham.
That's awesome.
And in the covenant that would be between men, basically, if it wasn't fulfilled, one of the parties would die.
Yeah.
You know, God I kind of think now, looking at it, that it's a foreshadowing of Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
That God took that upon himself. That's how faithful he is. That he would take a covenant between him and a man. He made the promises, and he would take all of the doubt away. All of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's probably become some of my favorite places to read. In Genesis 22:8, we all know that scripture. It says God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it just all ties to Jesus. And then I got to thinking about the cross. And that's the same thing. That covenant that the Lord took upon all of our sin to save us had nothing to do. We didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
That's all we
have
to do.
Praise the Lord.
God does it all. That's faithful. That's a faithful God.
Yeah.
And then Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made his promise to Abraham,
That's my absolute favorite verse.
Is it?
Yeah. Amen. May I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I keep staring at it back in, you mentioned it way earlier on, Malachi 3:6, and I don't know why, but like I've read over the scripture I don't know how many times, and you know, and I never really understood until you kind of brought everything before that even out, where he said, for I am the Lord, I change not, and the very end of it says, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Mm-hmm. You know, the timing of this, you know, what I do know about the scripture is the priests were offering polluted bread on the tables, they were doing all the, you know, and they were corrupt, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But he said, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I think what it means, and now it literally just hit me, is, you know, that, like you started with, he's faithful. The character of God never changed. You know, he was still merciful all the way from the very beginning. Yeah, I think this is far after, you know, the scriptures you're reading in Exodus and Genesis, you know, and he's still, therefore, you sons of Jacob, rightfully so, could have consumed them.
Yeah.
But he didn't. You know, I don't know. I just wanted to say that. It just really hit me. I never really understood why he said that. You know, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know,
That's
I
awesome.
Mean, he's all powerful. He could have done away with them.
Yeah.
He knew what they were doing. You know, he's sovereign. You know, and, you know, they could have, you know, he broke the law. You know, it was usually punishable by death. You know, that's awesome. That's just really good. That really just hit me tonight. It's good. Appreciate that.
And then Acts 3:25-26. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Amen.
So, I mean, it just all ties together. There's just scripture that just supports it, supports God being faithful.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks. Also, important to realize that Christ didn't do away with
the law. Yeah.
He made it perfect. He didn't go back and just say, you know, God's promise wasn't enough.
Right.
He made God's promise perfect.
Yeah.
By being perfect sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, he didn't do away with it.
Yeah.
Just put the little, the way God said, they.
I think that, you know, people talk about the law. I definitely think that God gave us the law because he loved us. You know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, everything would have gone if there was no law.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't know what sin is unless the law came.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it would have been almost like full anarchy, I guess.
Before the law, and I don't know if I read that or if I talked with somebody here about it, or, you know, before that, you know, killing somebody wasn't a sin. You didn't know it was a sin. Mm-hmm. It was
right.
Just how you became.
Yeah.
You know, morality has to come in there somewhere.
Yeah. You started out with, you had to believe it. And you said, heard it. Abraham. So, you know, a couple of times, you know, he had a little bit of doubt. But faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by what?
The Word of God.
Amen. Yeah. Gospel correctly, too.
Yeah. Well, he trusted God enough.
God spoke directly to him. There was nothing that could come between him and that promise. It was God's promise. And you said it perfect with the sacrifice, how he went through. That was him sealing it, saying, this is how it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that man can do to take away what Christ did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no matter how hard he tries, there's nothing can change what he did.
Yeah,
and wasn't involved in that at all. That's good, Jason. I like that.
That just was, I love how you started that, how you brought it out. And, that scripture just kept going. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Because the word of God came, became flesh and come down with blood among us to make things perfect.
And,
good. That's good. I get excited. That's beautiful.
Well, going to what you said about the law and the sin, he never really looked at it this way, but reading Cain, the first murder, he didn't act like he was sorry that he killed his brother. He was sorry that he got in trouble.
Right? Yeah.
His and curse. We look at it like, you know.
Sometimes aren't we like that too? We're not always sorry for what we did.
Right.
I'm sorry we got caught.
Well, and really, I mean, it didn't even seem like maybe he understood that all that it seemed like he was upset about was the fact that he was supposed to be a vagabond, and he said, this is too much for me. Nobody's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know? So he didn't want to die, but he wasn't upset that he killed his brother. Didn't seem like there were any levels.
Yeah.
And now that you say that, isn't that funny that he was afraid of being killed himself?
Yeah.
Because that's just what people do.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at it like horrible that they just didn't know.
Yeah.
The next one I thought about is Moses and Israel. If you get a chance to read that Genesis 15, that it's just beautiful, that whole chapter. So God promised to deliver Israel out of bondage. Anybody want to read the Deuteronomy one?
I can read it again. I have a hard time following lines. I don't know what.
That's okay.
Deuteronomy 7 and 8.
7, 8 through 11.
Okay. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
And repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them.
So, God, you know, had promised that, and, Moses and the children of Israel, they were delivered out of bondage. You know, we all know the story of how that went, or the account of how that went, and how God proved over and over again to the Israelites that he was faithful.
Yeah.
And he proved it to Moses. And, you know, it's all just good. So, I didn't really go into detail about it. You can kind of pick any account and say that God is faithful, right?
Yeah, amen.
And then Joshua 21:45 says, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass."
Yeah.
So, you know, God was faithful.
Yeah.
Right? So again, this is an account to me. It's still not personal, right? I believe all this. I can't wait to get to that part. So God promised us a Savior.
Yeah.
Man's original sin caused us separation from God.
Yeah.
We needed a Savior to save us from eternal damnation. And so in Genesis 3:14-19, it talks about the fall of man. You want to read it again, Stephen? Genesis 3:14-19.
"And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Oh, I'm sorry. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return."
I struggle with this, and I think it's just because I feel like it's above my head a little bit. But it says, you know, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, Satan is after us,
mm-hmm.
and we need a way to where we can be. Our separation with God, we can be reconciled
mm-hmm.
back to Him forever.
Right.
So He promised us a Savior, Ephesians 2:4-6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And then John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Amen.
And then 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world."
Mm-hmm.
So all that's come to pass.
Yeah.
Again, God is faithful.
Amen.
Right there, we have three accounts right there to where God is faithful. Again, you have to believe it.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
It's spiritual.
Yeah.
It's supernatural. It's, you know, as Job says, it's too wonderful, you know, for our understanding. So He has promised this to all mankind. They aren't just for Israel. They are all, for all, whosoever, right?
sorry. But I didn't even get to number four, but it just, I'm over here highlighting how many times the word all and cannot, and whosoever, before I even got down there. It wasn't just some. It's not just some. He didn't just do this part of it. And I guess the biggest one that I was, Joshua 21:45 at the end, it said, all came to pass.
Yeah.
Not some of it came to pass. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
How more faithful can you get than doing everything you said you were going to do?
Yeah.
That's just, that word all just means so much.
I feel the same way about when he says shout.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the word of God, mm-hmm. it's just, it's complete, it's precise.
Yeah.
It is, how do you say it? It doesn't fail.
Yeah.
It's commanding.
Yeah, amen.
It's commanding. And, thank you for that. That's part, if you ask me, that's part of the rock that you stand on is the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the Word.
Yep.
But, man, but it's the Word of God that you can stand on.
Yeah.
When he told Joshua, you follow me, not a man will stand before you.
Amen.
It's not that, well, I'll be with you Tuesday, but maybe not Thursday. No, it was with him the whole time, as long as he followed.
Yeah.
And that is just the power of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful. I know it's touched your heart. I can feel it. And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's why you couldn't stand on it, because God said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No other reason, right? It's because God said. And he always keeps his word.
Who but God can write a book that chastises, but at the same time is full of love?
Yeah,
We were talking about in Sunday school about, we're talking about the original sin, we were talking about lies, and that God cannot lie, we're talking about honesty, and, you know, if I say to you, does this make me look fat? You know, just a simple, goofy thing, you know? You don't want to hurt my feelings, right? And I'm acting like super tubby, right? But you don't want to hurt my feelings. But it's not the truth, right? If you lie and you say, no, you look great. You know? You would say something like, I don't really like that outfit. That's how you would say it. You wouldn't answer. But, you know, a lie... even simple like that, can hurt somebody. The truth is always the way to go.
Yeah.
Even if it hurts.
Yep.
And I think that's hard for us because, you know, we don't want to hurt people.
Yeah.
Just simple like that. We don't want to hurt people. But even when we're talking to somebody who may not know the Lord, they may be of a different faith. You know, I know I do anyway. I kind of trip over my words because I don't want to offend anybody. As I get to know people, I can talk a little bit more open with them. But if I don't know you at all, I'm going to either not answer you or try to answer you in a way that doesn't offend you.
Yeah.
What would be beneficial to them is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what God does. He tells the truth, and he faithfully tells the truth. I always know where I stand with God. I don't have to question it, because it's not him, it's me.
Yeah.
It's always me. When I doubt or when I'm not close, God still loves me. God, I'm still going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
but there's something I've done. And even at that, I know where I stand. You know, does that make sense?
That's also what Christ did when he was here. You know, with the Pharisees and those that would come up and do all the questioning and everything, he told them the truth.
Yeah.
But he also told them that he was the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of what the truth was doing. The truth was cutting to the heart.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but he was saying, you know, if you believe in me, basically, that's your way out. You know, this is what helps that truth, you know, with you. It, you know, I hurt your feelings, but I don't do anything to help you or to help make things
better.
Yeah,
that's good.
Right?
That's
if good. I don't do something to help make that better, then I'm just being mean.
Yeah.
Then I'm just being hateful.
Yeah.
But if I hurt you and then I try and help you, that's different, you know. And that's what the gospel's about.
I love it.
Yeah. Gospel cuts you to pieces, but it also shows you how to get out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's just like there's a way to do things, you know, like. I think there's, and that's one thing I have a hard time in myself navigating at times, is when people come to you with like a question that you know is kind of a woke subject, for lack of a better way to put it, or maybe like a touchy subject. It's how do you put the words together by not lying to them, but also to delivering it in such a way the way Christ would do it. You know, because Christ, you know, like you said, he didn't cease to... I mean, he pronounced woes among the Pharisees, you know, so, and, you know, when I read that, I do see it as him being assertive, but not assertive as in, like, hey, I'm here to punch you in the gut. I see it as him standing on the truth, but still, even in his assertiveness and authoritativeness, for lack of maybe even a horrible way to put it, I still find, again, like you've been saying, there's a love behind it, you know, and, but, like, I think, you know, again, it's just like even when you're pastoring, you know, sometimes you got to do hard things, and you got to have hard conversations, preach hard topics, but it's the how do you do that, you know, in learning how to step back and keep self out of the way and let Christ increase when you do it. You know, but not seizing to hold the truth back, you know, that's the big thing. It's, you know, it's just like, you know, the topic of homosexuality, you know, are you... If someone straight up tells you, like, I had my cousin one time come to me and ask me, you know, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And I told him, you know, I said, I love you dearly, and I don't want you to think that I'm going to treat you any differently just because you choose that lifestyle. However, I, because of what the scriptures say, I don't agree with it, you know. And, yeah, he got angry with me, but my delivery wasn't mean. You know, but if you're presented with that, you can't really lie to them. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
But it just depends on every single situation, I guess is what I'm saying.
Whenever somebody asks me about that, I always, because God showed me, I've struggled with homosexuality, with can I be friends with someone who's homosexual? Can I show them love?
Yep.
And God's like, it's sin.
It's sin.
I thank him for showing me that because I have that love now I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid to, if somebody asks me. And then I tell them, it's just like any other sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a man and a woman and you're living together
and
you're not married, it's the same sin.
Yep.
So, because that's thrown up in our face a lot about homosexuals, you know, and I try to say it's sin.
Yes,
it's sin. Whether it's this sin or that sin, it's still sin. We can love the people, and hate the sin. And God just cleared that up for me one day. I think I came out of the shower, didn't I? And I said, James, God told me it's just sin. It's not anything different than this sin or that sin. And because in this world, it's thrown in our face a lot.
Yes.
So we're haters.
Yeah.
Right? We're haters.
Right.
We don't agree with that one.
Yep.
But there's hundreds more we don't agree with. Right?
Sure.
And I can always use myself as an example when I'm talking to somebody. Jim Strunk, best advice ever. If you don't know what to say to somebody,
probably don't need to.
Tell them what God did for you.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do is tell them what God did for you.
Yep.
And it works.
Yep.
It works. You just, you know, and it can not work.
Amen.
Yeah, and our friend Jeff supposedly claimed to be, you know, I won't lie to you guys about that. You know, he claimed to supposedly be homosexual, and he was one of our dear friends. You know, we loved him dearly. And now, where as far as where he stood, you know, that's between him and God. You know, I'm not God, so I can't declare that. I think he knew where we stood, but I didn't. I think where a lot of people, and I'm going to say it like this, I think a lot of religious folk forget that even Christ loved, you know, the most vile people, you know, in Scripture. And died for him, yes.
Amen.
So, and there's no big sin, little sin with Christ either, you know, and that's the big thing, you know. Like, and I think, too, kind of worldly churches kind of give a bad name for us, too. Because, like, just like you have those churches that, I'm not just trying to bring up every controversial topic, but, like, you have those churches that are at, like, the pride rallies, and they're yelling, you know, God hates, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, yelling that they're going to hell and all this, but it's like, do you think you're going to, my question to those folks are, I'm not saying, you know, again, like I originally said, there's a way to go about things, but do you think you're going to really show, are you showing them the love of Christ by doing that? You know, are you, by elevating yourself above them when really, let's just be honest, we're all sinners. You know, so you're not going to win them that way.
Yeah.
By, you know, by like just being horrible and mean to them.
Well, could you tell me a time that he was, that Jesus himself was just downright hateful to people? Telling them that they were going to hell,
right?
For what they're—I mean, hateful telling them, not just, you know, telling them or, you know, convicting us when it's, you know, he's calling us to get saved. He's telling us that we are, but he's doing that with compassion and love.
Yes.
And that would be very faithful, wouldn't it?
Right?
No.
If he's standing there screaming at me that everything I'm doing is wrong and I'm going to hell because of it, but he's doing it with hatred in his heart, that's not... So why should I be doing that to people?
Right.
Just because they sin differently than I do.
Right.
Because let's face it, I sin every day. I'm not perfect.
And the nature of our flesh is to turn off when people talk to us that way.
I don't have the right to be hateful when God's never been hateful to me.
No.
So I can't take that and use that as a preaching standpoint, or whatever you want to call it, it's okay, I can do that because God said I could. God's never told you to do anything out of malice or hatred.
We're image bearers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the woman falling after the door.
Yeah.
You know, what did he say to them? He didn't say anything awkward, right? But the words coming from him, cut them to the point.
Yeah. Where they were living.
Yeah, amen.
That's what it does when you're.
It does it to me too. When I'm
amen.
It just does. And he did not say one harsh word. Matter of fact, it's acting like that after he said it that they weren't even there.
Yeah.
And so it's the power of the Word of God.
Yeah, amen.
Isn't that what he does with us, with our sins, though? I mean, we start naming our sins. We start thinking about who we were.
Yeah.
God doesn't even remember.
Amen. I didn't even look at it. God, that's good.
It's good.
I mean, it wasn't. Now, there are times, like Steph was saying, where it seemed like when he spoke, he was definitely looking to cut them off. I mean, without a doubt, there were several times that he did not, you know, he called them vipers, you know, generational vipers, and things like that. But that's talking about just the sin, you know. That's exactly what he's talking about, in the world of sin. He said it, and then still gave them the choice to believe or not.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the gospel is.
You know,
is.
He, whether we believe or not,
yeah.
He's still faithful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly.
Whether yeah. we believe it or not, he still is.
Amen. Like you said, when he didn't have to be, he was.
Right.
So that's awesome.
And we always look at Paul's writings like that too, like when he was on Mars Hill, you know, he was kind of mentioned last night. We look at that as like, man, he was standing up there with all those theologians and philosophers and scientists, and he was being real assertive. But he might have been preaching the truth, but I just can't see a malicious bone in Paul's body doing it. You know what I mean? Yes. You know. No.
He could talk to this group or that group or this group. He knew all about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew who they were. He knew what they already worshipped.
Yep.
He knew, you know, where they were at. And he was able to just take the love of God and just present it to them to where they could understand.
And they'd listen. Yeah. They'd listen to them.
Yeah. To where there was love with it.
Yep.
I don't have it in here, but I thought about. I might at the end. I thought about, are his promises conditional on what happens? And, you know, one of the examples that I thought of was Lot being in Sodom, you know, where Abraham was. If there's just one,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we save them. I think that sometimes... I don't know how to say it. God, whatever God wants to happen is going to happen whether I'm part of it or not. If he gives me something to do and I don't do it, he might give it the steps to do instead. You know, I think about the day that I got saved, all the pieces that had to come together that day. You know, did everybody follow what they were supposed to do? I would say, yeah. I mean, you know, if somebody didn't follow, that God had somebody else. But that was just something to think about. You know, I didn't really get deep into that. But God made promises to me personally and all men. That's what I have. There are over 7,000 promises.
Yeah.
And I just grabbed some that are important to me, and you guys can read them. We don't have to read them, but strength. God gives me strength.
Amen.
Psalms 31:24, that he'll fight for me.
Amen.
He gives me rest. Takes care of my needs. These are all things that that there are promises. This isn't if you're a good girl. This isn't you know, if you don't talk to me. These are promises. You know that God's going to take care of. Sometimes I feel like that, and I'll just use myself as an example. Sometimes I feel like. Like I almost use God or use my situation for God to love me more. You know, I am going to Bible study. I'm going to church this day. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All of that is a benefit for me.
Mm-hmm.
God's not going to love me more because I do that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But sometimes I think that I feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that, so God's faithful that he's going to love me.
Yeah.
No matter what I do.
Amen.
And he promises these things that, that he's going to do for me. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I could walk away from him. And he's still not going to leave me nor forsake me. I'm going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to protect me. He saved me. I have everlasting life to look forward to.
Yeah.
Not just like you were talking about, James, man can't separate us from God. You know, he's coming back. He's not going to be comfortless. The resurrection and He fulfills promises.
Yeah.
And there's God's word to back up God's word.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know how you put that. But I'm glad that nothing depends on me, you know? Nothing. The covenant with Abraham didn't depend on Abraham, and it just depended on God. Now, God wants us, you know, he wants us to believe. We have to believe him. And then I just have some more scriptures there that God is faithful. They're all in the book. I mean, his word is full of them.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to just take a couple. Then on the last page, I put, how do we get to know God and his character? How do we get to know he loves us? And that, you know, he's there for us. And just, you know, again, a few things. Repent. Seek to know him.
Yeah.
Listen to the man of God. There's your faith cometh by hearing.
Yeah.
read his word. Be in prayer. Fellowship. Obedience. And just spend time with him.
Yeah, amen.
All of that stuff. The more you do it, the more you'll know God. The easier it'll be to hear his voice.
Amen.
Discern who's talking to you. But I'm just thankful that he's faithful, and I believe it.
Good.
And
amen.
I know he's not going to change.
That's right.
I want to read Jeremiah 33. Call unto me, and I will answer thee.
Right.
Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's everything we talked about.
Yeah.
Our head, we can't understand what we believe.
Amen.
We have to know it's true.
Yeah.
Because it happened to us. And because he keeps showing us every day. Every day. If we will call unto him, if we will listen to him, we'll read his word, we'll pray. I don't know if he even got to the fellowship or not. I don't want to jump in front of
you.
The fellowship, the obedience, spend time with him. When you spend time with him, you feel like this. Good sex. That's a promise. Seek and get, and you shall find.
Yeah.
Knock, and it'll be open unto you. And I'm just so thankful for that.
And God has been so good to me that even if I didn't have all of the scripture to back it up, I would know it.
Yep.
I would know, still know, that he's faithful.
Yep.
Well, there was a time where they didn't have this knowing it, and they still knew that he was faithful then and was going to continue to be faithful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it says it in there. But they didn't have that. You know, we get to at least look at it and go, man, he was so good back then too. And they were in that time where they were just going, he's so good right now.
Yeah.
Just like we're sitting here, like, he's so good right now. And that's just...
Amen.
I think about the thundering. The thundering that would come from the mountain. Or the word that would come from the prophet.
Yeah.
Or the angel. I mean, we had the study about that. And that was God speaking directly. He said, in those times, I spoke to you by the prophets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, I speak to you by the Son.
Yeah, amen.
By the Son of God.
Yeah.
And man, how much greater do we have it than what they did?
We got it.
I don't know.
We got it back.
You think, you think about it. I don't know if you all get the, if it's worldly way to think about it or not. But when it thunders, you know, when you think about that, that his voice was so commanding, his voice was so sure, that it had to be like thunder to them. He thundered up on the mountain with Moses. They could hear the thunder. They could see, you know, the light. And all that. And we have that in here. We got that in here. And I don't treat it like that.
Nah, man.
I don't treat it like that. But I love when he lets me see it like that.
Yeah.
When it thunders to me. You know.
Yeah.
And
it's personal.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
When it was like the other day, we were talking about, we were talking about how they didn't have the word all bound in a book and all that, you know, and like you begin to say the word and all that, it's all in here. You know, he wrote on the tables of our heart, you know, and it kind of just kept, even then, it took me back to the first time that, one of my first preaching experiences, I guess you could say. You know, I still remember, I'll never forget it because, you know, first off, you got to think, I couldn't even quote John 3:16. The very first scripture I ever read was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 1 through 3. And I do remember that. I don't know why I remember it, but I do.
Because it's your name.
Maybe. But, like, I didn't have all that Bible knowledge behind me, is what I'm saying. So then I get behind the pulpit. God filled my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, and all I remember is things coming out that I've never heard before, never spoke before, never read before.
Yeah.
And then I remember sitting down and I, being young and naive at the time, thinking, how did I do that? And God looked at me and said, well, you didn't do anything.
Right.
And that right there proves to me that, and people listening or whatever, you were to tell people out in the world that, they'd say you're crazy, you know, or coincidence or all those things. No, I don't believe it was coincidence. I believe that, I believe 100% it was the Spirit of God that gave me what needed to come out at that time, whether it was for 2 or 3 minutes or not. You know, God made it come out because He wrote His word on the tables of our heart.
Yeah, amen.
That's just unbelievable to you, isn't it?
It is amazing. It is amazing.
I mean, God's let me have a thought before that, you know, it's just like, that came from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nowhere else it could have came from, is but from God.
Just this little section right here, I won't read them all, but God is faithful. Be faithful, God. Faithful is He.
Yeah.
And He abideth faithful.
Yep.
A faithful Creator. He is faithful. Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's faithful.
I was glad that I got this. When I was studying it, you know, God just revealed things to me. You know, He's just.
That's the best part about studying.
He's amazing. Just, you know, we take it for granted. That's we're talking about the suffering, you know. We're even so sheltered that, you know, I won't say things to offend people because I don't want them not to like me.
Well, sure.
You know? Am I really going to suffer if somebody doesn't like me? I mean, you know, but I've told them the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's how we got, I think that's how we've gotten the position that we are.
Oh,
is people like me who, you know, don't offend somebody.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know where I learned that from, you know, I guess maybe just how society is.
A lot of it, I think, too, I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead.
We were fed the narrative separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And we've become to believe that, and we've even got it thought to ourselves that it's in the Bible, which is not.
It's not, no.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that we got fed that narrative, and we started to believe it, and it's just passed down, and now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the United States of America, when it was founded to be a Christian.
Yes.
Yep.
Nation.
Yep.
And it was taught.
There was prayer in school.
Yeah.
There were all of these things that they still had it.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
I was watching a thing on, you know, Muslims, and the guy was, the Christian was saying, giving all these examples of how all of our founding fathers said, you know, that if we get away from being a Christian nation, or if we let these outside ideas in, they said, you have a right to believe what you want to believe, but America is a Christian country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can come here and believe it, but you can't push it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we get away from that, then America's going to wind up falling.
Oh,
I mean, and I mean, we have seen 200 years later, we've seen it. You know what I mean? For all intents and purposes, you know, as a godly nation, America has fallen.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we're...
you know, we're still running and cooking, you know what I mean, for however long we got left on that. But as a Christian nation, I don't consider us a Christian nation anymore. We're not a God-fearing nation.
No.
There's people in the nation that are God-fearing. Yes. But we're not a God-fearing nation. We're not the way that...
No.
And that, they, I mean, you can go back and you can read their excerpts that you're not going to find in the text.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, but they, yeah, they said if you, you know, because Muslim was a thing, they were trying to push it back then.
Yeah.
They said, look, if you, you know, so, yeah, and it wasn't a thing, separation of church and state. What they were saying was basically like, you know, you can't micromanage the church. The government can. Not saying that you can't bring God into the laws.
They talk about some of that in one of the martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're going through the
generations. And if I remember correctly, I think that ideology came from Constantine. If I remember correctly, historically, I'd have to look it up again. But I think separation of church and state started with him. And he pushed it, I think, if I remember correctly.
I think he pushed the Catholic
and yeah, he
church
was
to be the,
yeah, yeah,
basically the lawgivers. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I don't want to be like that.
No.
Anymore. And I find myself trying not to be like that. And
it's going to take work. Because
it does take work.
Yeah.
But I caught myself not posting something on Facebook. Because I didn't want to offend somebody, you know, that was pro-God or pro-God. And I don't want to be like that. I mean, so what if I offend somebody who's homosexual that I went to high school with? You know, you need the truth.
Yeah.
You
know? Unless it's worded in an offensive way.
Right.
The word of God's not a weapon; it's a sword, but it's not a weapon.
And it wouldn't be. It would just.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. I want to be bold for God with that love. You know, God could be faithful to us and not full of love, and it would be something different.
Yeah.
You know, but He loves us.
Yeah.
He's faithful. And whoever's got the next one, good luck. Find a place to start.
Well, I'll have my forgiveness study.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Steph's the last one.
Oh, wow. I'll have a half of a study.
Wow.
Otherwise, we'll be here for
eternity. Right. That's what I struggle with the most, is where to start.
Any study, it's hard of thinking, where do I start? But once you get that jump off point, then you're.
Yeah.
It just falls right in the line.
And I can tell you that I will not be nearly as organized as this.
I'm a type A personality, so.
I've typed out a few, and then I'm like,
y'all
can just follow along.
I have ADHD. You're going to be lucky that I'm not here to talk about squirrels.
She pulled it out, and I said, what'd you do? Write a book? She's like, yeah, just about.
But I like this. It helps me.
Yeah. I do this for my personal self. I ain't doing it for you guys. I'll give my notes to Nikki to print out for you guys. Let her type it. Because I'd still be typing.
Scan it. I'll scan it and throw it in my OneDrive.
So then
I
got children.
On that first search that is in
the chosen God. The children.
I should have put it back in the
chat. It's going to be the least suffering.
Say that again, James.
It says, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him. That we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be prepared with glory which shall be revealed in us. You're talking about how you feel when those situations come up. If we treat them the way that Christ treated them, then the glory of God will be revealed. Not our own, but His glory will be revealed. And they'll see Christ in it.
Amen. No matter what you, if you're suffering with him, you know, that verse never really stood out like that. I always looked at it as like, you know, well, the glory that, you know, when later on, you know, when we go. So that's the glory now.
Love
if you suffer like him now.
Yeah,
he did. He showed the love. He told them the truth. And he suffered for them. That we're pretty sure we're not going to be put up on a cross like him. Right? We don't know that, we don't believe that that will happen.
Right.
But the things that he suffered through, you know, the rejection, the unbelief, and all these things, he still continued on to tell the truth. And his glory was revealed.
Yeah.
The world knows that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Yeah, amen.
Right? And we're like him, and we suffer those things with him and for him, then he will be revealed.
Yeah, amen.
That's good, husband.
That's just how it is. I mean, just plain and simple. And I failed that. I feel that huge. But I'm glad. Yeah, we're all glad. We're happy when someone can say, well, you're a Christian, right? You believe this. One of our friends was over today. And he's Catholic and don't know why. Has no clue why.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And he says, well, you guys believe in God. You guys believe in Jesus. And of course we do. You know, he knows that. He sees that, and we try to get him to come with us. Mm-hmm. He don't want to be part of it, but he knows.
Yeah.
Well, he wonders why we're not eating fish on Friday.
Yeah. He makes the thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, I have to give something up, which is stupid, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's just how clueless.
The mindset.
He just has no clue.
Well, if even the ones doing it thinks it's stupid.
Yeah.
He has no clue why.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Well, and the problem is that some religions treat Christ's sacrifice like it wasn't enough, you know, for, you know, just like you said, like, earlier on, to fulfill the Old Testament law. So something that, I mean, I'm not trying to throw rocks at them, but it's like they believe in Lent where they feel like they have to abstain from meat for a certain period of time and eat fish on Friday. But it's like they're treating the sacrifice of Christ like it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And he made it to where we don't have to go back and do those things by the law anymore. And made it all by faith. But they still had to even be, you know, and this is the other thing I'll say too, is even with the law, they still had, there was still a faith component behind all of that. Because to even satisfy the requirement of it, you had to be faithful in making sure you satisfied the requirement.
Yeah.
Brought everything correctly. Set up, like the priest had to do everything in the tabernacle 100% correct, or they would fall dead and have to be pulled out.
Yeah.
But I think some religions kind of miss the mark with that, is I guess what I'm trying to say, not just the Catholics, they take certain the ideologies of the world and tradition and throw it in, you know, and add it.
Well, look at us. We have it so good that, forget which disciple was crucified upside down.
Peter,
because he didn't consider himself worthy enough to have the same death as Christ. But yet, Christ lives in us,
you know,
sometimes we just don't respect that at all.
Yeah,
you know, we don't have any regard for it sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, they did.
Yeah,
that's the living like Christ. Have you started studying suffering yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting it together.
I'll
have it ready for when after stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually been, this has been an easier one because I've studied it for personal, you know, before. But yeah, I'm not done with it.
Yeah.
He's bringing out more.
That's good.
One thing I did want to ask you guys, though, what are some topics that you want